fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Monday. It is Monday, the 19th day of December. President's Day, by the way, year of our Lord, 2024. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Live broadcasting begins at Republic Broadcasting Monday through Friday with my show, the John Moore Show. And I'm proud to say we do begin my show with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I want to remind everybody to keep your prayers coming for Deputy Hendricks. He does the pledge for us on Wednesdays. He's in the hospital, and he does need prayer. The proper tip of the day is to go shopping at thrift stores and consignment stores. You'll find lots of things that you need, especially if you're stocking up on shoes and boots for our family members that could show up as refugees, especially heavy winter clothes, coats, things like that, at very deep discounts. So you might be surprised, delightfully surprised, at what you find at thrift stores and consignment stores. You might want to avoid Goodwill. They, quite frankly, they're overpriced. Salvation Army and the smaller churches have good quality merchandise at much better prices than Goodwill does. All right. We have patient Wayne in the green room, my friend Stephen Starr. Stephen is the author of an excellent book. I have it here in my hands. The title of it is Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse. The subtitle is A Mortal Threat to the U.S. Power Grid and U.S. Nuclear Power Plants. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, John.
Well, sir, each successive week seems like a new chapter in a twilight zone as far as geopolitical matters, doesn't it, sir?
It does, but it's Alice through the looking glass.
Absolutely. And I misspoke the date today. Today is February 19th, not December. I got a correction here. We're at the precipice of what could become World War III, and a lot of people don't think about who haven't really looked into World War II. You probably know the answer, as do I. But, Stephen, when did World War II begin?
Well, it depends on what what part of the war you're looking at. For the United States, it was 1941. In Europe, it began sooner than that. And Japan invaded China in the 1930s. So
Right. Well, that's most historians would go back to several things. The Japanese invasion of China in the mid-1930s. And, of course, Germany going to Sudetenland in the mid-1930s also. The world was at war for a good 6 years before the United States was bombed at Pearl Harbor, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Absolutely. And we were preparing, people weren't aware at the time, there was the Civilian Conservation Corps, which I think was headed by one of our American generals. And these guys, they basically were living in military-style barracks, undergoing military-style discipline. And when the war began, we had a cadre of young men who'd already had military discipline and training because of Civilian Civilian Conservation Corps. How about that, Stephen?
That's interesting. You know, I had several bridges that were built and concrete roads that were built in the 1930s near my house on Cedar Creek in Bid, Missouri, and that goes back to that Conservation Corps.
That's right. I just recently found the discharge papers for one of my uncles who was with the Civilian Conservation Corps. And as a side note before we move on, the National Museum for the Civilian Conservation Corps is at Jefferson Barracks, Missouri. It's not much. It's kind of dusty and not a big deal, but that's where it is. Point being, we may already be in World War III, and the historians writing about this 10 or 20 years in the future may say the war's already begun. That's certainly a possibility, isn't it?
Well, I think that's actually a very educated way to look at it, that just because we're not in a direct military conflict with Russia or China at this point doesn't mean that we haven't been fighting a war against Russia and Ukraine, and we're preparing for a war with China and Taiwan. We're moving a lot of military assets out in the Pacific. We started that a long time ago. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't believe you're a veteran, Stephen, are you?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that may actually help this part of our discussion. You probably had ROTC guys and gals in your various classes over the years, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And there's something I've observed, and this may go to you may or may not have made these observations yourself, but in the military, there's something we call parade rest, where the man or woman stands with their feet about a foot apart with their hands held behind their back. Now, I've observed these Chinese men waiting to be processed that have crossed illegally into our border, or sometimes just standing at the Darien Gap. And that's not a natural position for a man to stand, or a woman, is at the position of parade rest, in my observation. How about you, sir?
That's kind of a frightening observation, but I would agree.
Well, it is. And unless a man or woman has had military training, standing at parade rest is not a natural way for a human being to stand. It simply isn't.
So in other words, they have been military background. They've been trained in the military. And so
precisely. And they're coming across our border by the tens of thousands. Now, I find that scary in and of itself.
I heard Rand Paul give a speech, quite a speech the other day, and he quoted a figure of 750,000 illegal immigrants that have come across our border in the last 2 months.
That's a pretty scary number, isn't it?
I mean, it's hard. I thought, oh my God, you know, I know we've had millions of them, but when you think about the tidal wave, and you know, they're blocking them in Texas, but they're not blocking them in California, and there's also the Canadian border. I read that they're coming across. We didn't even hear about that.
Well, it's the longest, I believe it's the longest international border on the planet, and the majority of it is a five-strand barbed wire fence like my local cattle ranchers have here to keep the cows from going where they're not supposed to go. A five-strand barbed wire fence, which is no impediment whatsoever unless you happen to be in a wheelchair, which then you need a pair of wire cutters to cut through the fence instead of step over it. And so that's our northern border, the majority of it, isn't it, Stephen?
Right. I mean, it's a huge border. And, you know, I started studying this recently because when I started seeing these figures shocked me. And the majority of these people, we used to think about the illegal immigrants were people from Mexico and maybe Central America coming across.
Right.
That's not the case. More than half of these people are coming across the oceans, and they're being given maps, and then, you know, their passage is being paid by these so-called non-governmental organizations that are actually getting funding from governments. So this really truly is an invasion, and when you think about what might result from it, it's just kind of staggering.
It is. Well, I look at these as the advance party of the main force. Soldiers, the Chinese soldiers being left behind in Mexico, and there are huge military bases of Chinese troops in Mexico. They're the main force. The advance party would be your special forces, your intelligence guys, and saboteurs or commando types. That's who would be coming across the border initially, because they would need to do the things that commandos do and establish the beachhead for the main body coming across the border. It's been said, Stephen, that what the Chinese are doing is roughly a duplication of what the Germans did in World War II with Norway, where German soldiers went into Norway pretending to be tourists or students, wearing civilian clothes. Right. Their uniforms and equipment and weapons were all pre-positioned in warehouses. And when the balloon went up, they went to the warehouses, they got their uniforms, they got their equipment, they got their rifles. And the dream of every general is to have their troops behind enemy lines before the shooting even starts, isn't it, Stephen?
Yes, you know, I've written a lot about nuclear weapons in the past, and one of the things I discovered is that our bonded warehouses, material that goes into those warehouses is not inspected by customs until after it leaves the warehouse. So, you know, you could have weapons or a nuclear weapon in one of those facilities. You know, they have radiation scanners for nuclear weapons, but they're not all that effective because you can block radiation, which is a thin layer of lead, you know, for...
Right. From, yeah, it means if with proper shielding, those signals can be blocked. You're very, very true. Well, in most wars, most of the time, most armies will use every weapon at their disposal. And I don't anticipate this one being any different, where the Chinese and the Russians and the North Koreans, I don't know about Iran, but the Chinese, North Koreans, and the Russians all have specific types of weapons that make a very strong EMP pulse, don't they?
That's right. You know, there was in the news just in the last week or so, you may have heard about it, they had talked about Russian nuclear weapons in space, and they inferred that would use EMP to take out the satellites there. That actually wasn't really quite correct. But the EMP from any nuclear detonation in outer space will come down and create a huge electromagnetic pulse on the surface.
That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our job here this first hour every Monday is to educate you, inform you, let you know the reality of one of the many weapons that our avowed enemies have, especially the Chinese Communist Party, the North Koreans, Russia. Well, we can't leave them out of the mix. Iran, well, they have, we don't know what all their capabilities are, but if you've got the oil revenue that they have, you can pretty much buy anything you want to buy. So they have these weapons exist. They're in the possession of Russia and China and North Korea. And will they be used? We don't know. Could they be used? Of course they could. Now, there's a piece of equipment that will help mitigate and will actually completely mitigate the effects of EMP, as well as lightning when it comes to your home and your generator. That's the EMP shield devices. And Andrew is typically with us, but he's got some assignments out of town, and he won't be with us again, I think, maybe in a week or two. Regardless, these pieces of equipment are manufactured in Kansas, and what you can buy as a civilian is the exact same equipment the Department of Defense buys. That's not always possible to buy the exact same equipment the Department of Defense buys, is it, Stephen?
No, it's not, but like when it comes to automatic weapons, for example. But yeah, I'd say EMP shield is, when I was writing my book, it took me almost 3 or 4 years to write my book on the electromagnetic pulse. And I discovered the EMP shield company as part of my research. And I actually purchased some of their devices because I read their website. They have some companies that do the testing at very high standards, the same as military standards. And that impressed me. So, you know, I had some of those before I even talked to Andrew.
Well, you're a bright guy, and you did your homework. You found the equipment, and it doesn't surprise me at all. But you're a pretty bright guy, and you're diligent in your research. And not everybody is as diligent as you are to do their homework and find these things on their own. That's why we talk about them every Monday, to help people understand that this equipment actually exists. I've mentioned this before, but we have new listeners every week. About 1991 or 92, I had a Dodge specialist take my 1988 Dodge 3/4-ton full-size van, and I gave him the following instructions. I want you to eliminate or bypass every transistor, resistor, or diode. He smiled and took it as a challenge, and he did that. It took him about 2 weeks to bypass everything and make that 1988 Dodge basically a 1966 Dodge. I still have that vehicle. It's in retirement. It's sitting in a field. It could be put back in use with fresh fuel and a fresh battery. But that's how concerned I was at that time. When I finally found out about the EMP shield devices, it was like a gift from heaven that, oh boy, I can make my vehicles EMP proof without having to go to the trouble and expense I did before. Of course, these modern vehicles have a lot more computers, transistors, resistors, and diodes, my 1988 Dodge did. Almost everything's computerized in modern vehicles, isn't it, Stephen?
Yes, that's right. You know, people may not understand why the solid-state electronics are at risk, but the nuclear detonation in outer space, it won't create blast or fire on the surface of the Earth, because it's going to occur, you know, dozens or even hundreds of miles above the surface. But it sends down in a billionth of a second, it will create an electromagnetic wave that will induce massive voltages and currents into anything that's electrically conductive, particularly telecommunication lines and power lines, like in a medium distribution power line. That E1 wave will produce 2 million volts in a current of 5,000 to 10,000 amps. So anything that's plugged into the grid, it's going to get fried. And that any solid-state electronics, you know, because they... these things operate at just a few volts, and so you, all of a sudden you put 5,000, 10,000, 50,000 volts into something, it's just going to burn it up.
All right. So. It'll be toast. It'll be fried. Well, the threat of EMP is a threat that may or may not happen, on one hand. The threat of the consequences of lightning are a very clear and present danger. There's no place on this planet that's completely safe from lightning. That place does not exist. One of my homes recently took a lightning strike. It's been about a year ago, and we're still tracing down pieces of equipment that were damaged or destroyed by the lightning strike. My EMP shield was sitting on the counter waiting for the electrician to get it installed, and it wasn't installed, and we took the hit, and we paid a price for that. And we still have a couple pieces of equipment that need to be checked out. One very expensive piece of equipment, a generator, a big propane fire generator. But hopefully it survived the lightning strike. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know before I had EMP shield installed in my home, if I was asleep 2 o'clock in the morning, I would hear a thunderstorm coming. I would have to get up out of bed, go around unplugging computers, unplugging the postal scale, wireless telephone. Everything was plugged into a charger, such as smartphones. And then go back to bed after unplugging all that thing, hoping I hadn't missed anything. You've probably been in the same situation yourself, haven't you, Stephen?
Well, it's funny because I used to do the same thing. But, you know, there's no guarantee you're going to hear that thunder and wake up before the lightning hits.
That's true also.
You know, when I got the EMP shield, I sort of realized I'd bought this the little house out in the country, that they didn't have surge protectors on the house. And people may be thinking, well, I've got a surge protector on my house. Well, that will, the typical surge protector will protect against lightning, but it won't protect against EMP. The EMP shield costs a little bit more than a normal surge protector does, but it covers you for both.
Well, I need to give you a gentle correction here, Stephen. Surge protectors are engineered and meant to stop routine surges in the power grid. They're not meant to protect against lightning. Now, there are industrial versions of surge protectors that you can't find in your local hardware store, typically only sold and bought by corporations to protect from lightning. They're much more expensive than the surge protectors that we get at the local hardware store.
I didn't know that.
The one thing about talk radio is we all learn from each other. But Andrew and I talk about this frequently, how the surge protectors that you buy at your local Lowe's or Harbor Freight or any place like that, they won't protect against lightning. They're not designed to. They're not meant to. But the EMP shield not only protects against lightning, there's a $25,000 insurance policy that comes along with it. Gives you some peace of mind, doesn't it, Stephen?
Yes. You're not going to wake up to unplug everything if there's a nuclear detonation in outer space. And there's also every 100 years or so, there's a gigantic geomagnetic disturbance. It's like, you think of a solar flare, they call it technically a coronal mass ejection, but gigantic thing comes out of the sun, and if it hits Earth directly, the last time it really did that was in 1859. Back then, obviously, there weren't computers and transistors, but all the telegraph lines caught on fire. People got knocked out of their chairs that set fires at the telegraph offices. Even fences caught.
Right, barbed wire fences caught the fields on fire, yes.
If that happens again, if you don't have the EMP shield, you're going to be fried like everybody else.
Well, my friend Professor McCanny, my regular Wednesday guest, he taught astrophysics at Cornell University. He also taught mathematics at Cornell University. According to him, these coronal mass ejections, that's what happened with the Carrington event in 1859, they happen on a routine basis,
right,
several times a year, and they shoot out from the sun like a rifle shot. And we've been blessed, knock on wood. I got some wood nearby, knock on wood. We've been blessed since 1859 to not take a direct hit from one of these massive coronal mass ejections on one hand. On the other, it's just simply a matter of time and our luck running out when one of these coronal mass ejections does finally smack us. Right, Stephen?
Yes, and so when you add that up with the EMP and coronal mass ejection, that's what it sounds to me is that our government, the civilian infrastructure, is not protected at all from EMP. But the military has actually instituted protections with their weapon systems and communication systems. But all of our civilian infrastructure, the transportation, communication, sanitation, water, none of us, our grid is not protected from EMP. I even talked to a staff member from one of our Missouri senators a month or two ago, and they took the book to Washington, and I've tried to call, but nobody's called me. And you think, what does it take to wake these people up? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, there's two parts to that, and it's worth discussing a little bit. We missed our first break, by the way. One is, the reality of Washington, D.C. is a strange reality based on what most people think and know about how the world works. First of all, there's the men and women who believe President Obama, support President Obama, and are influenced by President Obama. President Obama actively blocked any money being spent to protect the U.S. power grid. Now, just because he's an ex-president doesn't mean his beliefs and his power and his influence have gone away. Not at all. Not even a little bit. So there's that part of it. And next we have all the... Now, I ran for Congress in 1996, Stephen, and I found out very quickly that everybody wanted to be my buddy. The Jewish businessmen wanted to be my friend. The Nazis wanted to be my friend. The American Indians wanted to be my friend. The union people wanted to be my friend. And they would schedule a lunch with me. I would listen to them, and they would give me a DVD or a book or something and all this. And I was on those mailing lists for almost 20 years after the event, after I ran for Congress. So there's a lot of push and pull on these senators and congressmen both to... Yeah. Vote for this, vote for that, spend money on this, spend money on that. And one of the active groups against money being or legislation being passed is utilities themselves.
Right.
They're fearful that they would have to spend their money to protect the power grid. My resolution, which I don't think it's gone anywhere yet, would be to have Congress give tax incentives to the utilities to where the money they spent on protecting the power grid would be removed from any tax obligation, making it a zero-sum game for them that they could spend the money and would not cost them a penny. That looks like a reasonable solution to me. How about you, Stephen?
Yes, it does. I mean, there's been acts introduced into Congress to mandate protection against EMP for the grid and our infrastructure, and they've been defeated primarily by lobbying from the utility. So, you know, I have to deduce from that it's the way that the bills were written, so the financial burden probably fell on the utilities, and that's why
That's right. Well, they're in business to make money, and that's I respect that, and I'm not upset at all if they want to protect their bottom line of profit. Of course they do, but on one hand. On the other, Congress, as I mentioned together has a way to take the bite out of that money being spent with the tax code. The tax code really does determine much of what goes on in this country economically, doesn't it, Stephen?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the thing is, though, when it's a matter of national security like this, I mean, if you lose your electricity, think about it, every single thing that you depend on is not going to work. And the thing about EMP is it's going to knock out the grid for more than a year because it'll destroy some components in there that are used, required for the long-distance transmission of electricity. If that doesn't work, you won't get electricity from the power plants. And so, I mean, we won't have your refrigerator won't work. You won't have any fuel, won't be distributed. It can't be pumped out of the ground. You know, there will not be food in the grocery stores. Nothing will work. So, isn't that worth protecting against?
Well, it is. And I have a Reader's Digest way to say what you just said. And here it is. Everything you need to fix what's broken is also broken.
Right.
And what a nightmare. Now, if we have regional power outages from an ice storm or a hurricane, hurricane is probably the best example. And I've seen these convoys of utility trucks. They ask the men for utility companies all over the country, electric utilities, to volunteer to be paid extra money than they normally make to travel to Florida or Georgia or Texas, wherever it might be, to repair the power grid. And that's what happens with regional issues as a consequence of a major hurricane. You know, there's not going to be volunteers from other parts of the country going anywhere because everything's going to be down, won't they, Stephen?
Yeah, that's right. You know, when you were talking about this, in Congress, a quote came to me from something I read a long time ago. A guy said, "Well, if you think the mere threat of the end of the world is going to change thinking in Washington, you haven't spent much time there."
I like that. I like that a lot. A friend of mine, he's a computer person, technician. He was hired to work for the Pentagon, and he started finding fraud in his work. It wasn't really his job, but he found the fraud, and he reported the fraud to his chain of command, and he got fired as a consequence.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't supposed to find fraud, but he did find fraud. He should have kept his mouth shut and kept his nice job in the Pentagon, but he thought, he's a former Marine, by the way, he thought it was the right thing to do to report the fraud as he found it, but it turned out it cost him his job.
Yeah. Well, there's a professor from Michigan State University, he's a tenured professor in economics, and he, with the former director of HUD, have found at least $21 trillion missing out of the federal budget since 1998. If you go to Solari.com, you can find the missing money report. So, I mean, you know, the country is being run basically by criminals.
Roger that. And that's what Donald Trump had good intentions. I believe he was quite a bit naive in terms of the depth of the corruption. There's something called the senior executive service. That's the real swamp. When they say the swamp, that's a senior executive service. That's who really runs the country. A neighbor of mine, she went to Washington, D.C. As a 20-year-old young lady to do administrative work. And she retired about 7 or 8 years ago. She went there during the Eisenhower administration. These senior executive service people, they look at these presidents as temporary hired help. That's all they look at them as.
Right.
Here's our break. The call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They got to be tired, the Revs. They got to be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right. That audio clip is from the film Gettysburg. That was Colonel Chamberlain at Little Round Top. A lot of military historians give that part of the battle credit for saving the battle for the Union, and that's where that audio clip is from. My website is thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there. This hour is sponsored by the Arkhaven Intentional Christian Community, located where I live in the Ozarks, the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks. If you would like to live in a place that's fun in normal times, a great place to raise a family, great place to retire, an even better place to be if hard times happen, that would be the Arkhaven Intentional Christian Community. Details at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Stephen Starr, the author of the following book, Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse. Stephen, I need to ask you, what was your initial interest in this topic, if I may ask, sir?
Well, I've written about the effects of nuclear weapons and nuclear war for about 30 years. I did act as an expert witness in Geneva and Washington. I've been pretty familiar with what a nuclear weapon does. And then when I learned more about EMP, I you know, it's just been dismissed by a lot of people like, well, that's a neocon thing. If there's one bomb goes off, there'll be a nuclear war and it won't really matter what EMP does because everything will be destroyed. But, you know, I came to regard that as really totally incorrect because, you know, if you can use one nuclear weapon, destroy all the communication and the critical infrastructure, you disable it, but you don't blow it up. I mean, that's more of an ideal weapon for somebody that really wants to conquer your nation. So it's and there's more than 12,000 nuclear weapons right now in the world. All it takes is one. I mean, it doesn't have to be precisely aimed. It just has to be, you know, one detonation over the eastern half of the United States will, in a billionth of a second, knocks out all the substations, you know, high voltage substations. It also blows up millions of glass insulators on the 15 kilovolt power distribution lines. You know, you lose one insulator, the line goes out. 78% of the electricity in the United States is distributed through those lines. So, you know, it's an instantaneous punch that will just completely take down every major aspect of critical infrastructure. And so I thought, why would you discount that as a possibility in a nuclear war? And then I realized that you could actually have a technical solution to that because, you know, when you talk about nuclear war, it's really, unless you stop the weapons from hitting you, that's
right. Another.
But with the, you know, the EMP shield, you can do it for your home. So if the government actually got it together to protect the grid and there was an EMP, your home would still be fried. So, and if you have a power system at home, like a solar system, you can protect that too. So you can actually protect yourself and your family with the EMP shield, whereas you know, we're still hoping the government takes some kind of action to protect the country.
We do. Well, people who don't know any better, they may think, well, we've got NORAD, we've got the U.S. Air Force, we have the military to protect us from incoming missiles and bombers that might carry these kinds of weapons on one hand. On the other, let's look at low-tech, for example. A cargo ship off the coast of Baja California, they could easily launch a weather balloon that would take off there and fly generally towards the east, northeast, as the prevailing winds. And our defense systems really aren't set up to detect weather balloons. They aren't looked at as threats, are they?
No. One recently made its way over all the nuclear installations in the U.S. Finally got shot down when it got over the Atlantic Ocean, I guess.
Right. Well, I think it was over North Dakota or Montana first. I believe North Dakota, they should have shot it down. The North Dakota National Guard should have shot it down immediately. But this was not just a average weather balloon because it could be guided and fly in a circle around a given area. And it did, when it got some of these military bases, it did do a 360 to get some good photographs of the place, didn't it?
When you think of a balloon, you think of something like your kid has. This was the size of a school bus. You know, it's not just some little balloon.
Right.
So you're right. It was maneuverable. I mean, when I read about it, I thought, what the hell? And then when I realized it made its way to a couple places where nuclear missiles were based and kind of flew around those, I thought, what the heck is going on? You know, that's not normal, the way the air just blows something like that. That's being maneuvered, right? So
Exactly. It was steerable. They could steer it and make it go any place they wanted. And we still don't. I believe the U.S. military has recovered the payload. Are you aware if they did or not? I'm not sure.
Well, who knows? They probably did. I mean, we're not told much of anything about what's going on. So, but I would think that they would have recovered it.
Well, there's photographs of it going down to the ocean, and I would think the capabilities of the United States Navy would be capable of recovering, especially if it was still in the continental shelf. Yeah. The continental shelf is relatively shallow compared to the deep ocean. Uh-huh. But if that was recovered, I'm not aware of it, and you're not aware of it either, are you, Stephen?
No, I'm not.
That's okay. Well, I want to keep that secret. Because if they reveal what the contents of the payload, then they'd have to be go public with what the capabilities of this weather balloon, what the capabilities were, weren't they?
Well, I think the general point's well taken. You know, I worked with a guy briefly when Trump was in office. He actually made it possible for the, like, members of the U.S. Air Force. There was an electromagnetic defense task force that was formed at the Air University, and it it was they were trying to educate people about EMP, and David Zuckerberg, who was a major on there, who I was supposed to testify with at a hearing, he was ordered not to, but he informed me. He wrote an article about the fact that a weather balloon could be used to deliver, you know, a nuclear weapon for EMP. So, you know, this isn't some, you're not just making this up. I mean, we have people.
Of course not. It's very real. We got a caller here, Stephen. We got James in Vancouver, Canada. Good morning, James.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I agree with everything you're saying, and I believe in the necessity for preparation. I think I mentioned this before, maybe on another occasion, but I want to restate it, and that is all the people around me that I interact with on a day-to-day basis, except for one, absolutely is not willing to recognize any kind of danger. And if preparation for dangers are talked about in the future, they actually they go kind of crazy.
Let me help you out here, James. This is the people you talk to, and I'm thinking what they think. Do not disturb my reality with your facts.
Yeah, and but it's worse than that, because I made provisions more than 2 years ago for extra power, auxiliary power, right? And you could have thought that the hell was going to fall from the heaven when they found out that I had got this backup power unit. It was like I was inviting disaster. That was it. It was like I was inviting that because I prepared, then disaster would happen, you see. So the people... There's two things happen. Yeah, you got to prepare. But the second is they're not prepared, even if they were prepared, for the with the fallout and the hysteria and the anxiety about what this is going to entail, this nuclear, it's the nuclear holocaust, in the sense of the power will be cut, but there's a whole lot more damage. So I just want to get that out there, that people got to prepare mentally and see through the, you know, but this is a big problem. But anyway, thanks for taking my call. I'll let you go.
Okay. And thank you, James.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, James brings up a very important part of that, and that's the psychological part of all of this concerning the decision makers in Washington, D.C., the people who run the power grid, and as well as common citizens. The psychological part of this is something that should not be disregarded, correct?
Well, that's correct. You know, I've always liked to be self-sufficient. So, you know, and I added a power system myself some time ago. I live in a rural area where when the power goes out, we're the last ones to have it come back on. But, you know, one of the things I see happening now is with all the propaganda that's being put out, I think maybe what James was referring to partially was the fact that they're describing people that are preparing as being, extremists, and that, you know, that you shouldn't be allowed to stockpile things. And, you know, that's something that only an extremist would do. So I shake my head at all that, but I see it coming on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's coming on, and, we're certainly in perilous times, to say the least. The economy, the geopolitical situation, no precedence whatsoever for what's coming across our southern and our northern border. The northern border is largely unprotected. What few men and women we had up there have been reassigned to the southern border, leaving it largely unprotected with, as I said earlier in the show, a five-strand barbed wire fence like my local cattle ranchers have, separating one wheat field in Canada from another wheat field in the United States. That border is mostly wheat fields and forest, isn't it?
Yeah, and I, you know, what people really don't understand is that when more than half of the people coming across our borders are first coming across the oceans to get to South America or Canada, they're being financed. And part of this financing is actually coming from our federal government. You know, they disguise it and they funnel it through non-governmental organizations. But this is an organized effort. This is not something that's happened by accident or people wanting to, you know, escaping political persecution. This is an organized effort to put millions and millions of people in the U.S. I believe it's because what the Democratic Party wants to get as many people into not only vote, but put them into the police forces and the military services. If they have no allegiance to the United States per se, they're willing to take orders. So it really is truly a dangerous thing that's happening.
It truly is. It truly is. Well, the work we're doing here on these Monday mornings, Stephen, could literally save hundreds, possibly thousands of lives. Every home that has electricity is a home that could help that entire neighborhood survive. A place, for example, medications that need to be refrigerated could be kept in your refrigerator because your neighbor's refrigerators no longer work. Little things like that can make a huge difference in saving lives, couldn't it, Stephen?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, it kind of reminded me one time when I was about 20 years old, which is the middle of the last century sometime, I went down to Jamaica with my brother and a couple friends, and I'd never been to a country where it wasn't like the United States. And, you know, there was one village, they had one light, they had a refrigerator and a freezer and a jukebox. But, you know, that's people went there, you know, they relied on that for, like you said, medicine, food, all of that.
Well, for much of the world, let's take India, for example, electricity in a home would be a 12-volt car battery that the oldest son takes on a bicycle to be recharged someplace for maybe 25 cents, brings back to the home so they could run a radio, maybe have one light bulb. That's electricity in much of Africa and much of Asia and even South America, isn't it, Stephen?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's why like solar systems have become very popular in a lot of places like that. But, you know, I've got photovoltaic panels on my house, but I have an EMP shield protecting them and the battery bank, too.
Absolutely. Well, one of our listeners lives in Spain, and he says, John, I'm committing a crime if I put electric solar panels on my roof. I'm committing a crime because of the EU. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, I would like to, as you mentioned, I've written a book on it. It's called Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse. You can purchase it on Amazon. If you don't remember the title, you can type in my name, Stephen with a V and star with two R's, and it'll bring the book up. And there's a Kindle version. It's, you know, like $9. I recommend that, you know, if you really want to learn what's going on with this, get my book. There are non-technical summaries at the beginning of each section. I also talk about the threat to nuclear power plants, which have not designed or been retrofitted to be resistant to EMP, but the Nuclear Regulatory Commission maintains they're safe. There's a lot of radiation at every nuclear power plant. We don't want that to get loose, but if you lose the cooling systems, like what happened at Fukushima, that the plants melt down. So, you get my book and read it and then, you know, give it to your congressman or at least your neighbor or somebody. Take some action. Don't just sit back and wait for something to happen.
That's right. Procrastination in many things is not a big deal. But procrastination in this matter of getting or not getting an EMP shield could literally be a matter of life and death, couldn't it?
But I look at it that way. I mean, I bought EMP Shield before my book was even published. Like I said, if they actually manage to protect the grid, it still won't protect your house. So, I mean, I don't think we should not do anything about the grid and our infrastructure not being protected yet, because we can do it for like maybe the 3-4% of our defense budget would protect the U.S. from EMP. And it's just a matter of time before somebody decides to shoot a nuclear weapon off to try to take our everything we have out. We have a congressional inquiry looked into it, and they thought up to 90% of the people in the U.S. would die if we lose all the power. And see, the power will be out for a year or longer because the large power transformers that are required for the long-distance transmission of electricity are going to be, the majority of them will be damaged or destroyed by the E3 component of EMP. And once they're destroyed, we don't stockpile those. And the current wait time is 18 to 24 months to get one of those made. It requires custom design, manufacture. And the way, like, average weight is about 500,000 pounds, so you can't airlift it. trying to move one of those from across an ocean and then across a continent to install it, it's going to take a long time, particularly in a country that's been has no electricity. We're really at risk, and we can fix this if somebody gets off their butt and does something about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're getting your heads up here. We're giving education. Now, if you want a more complete and detailed education, just what the wireless EMP thing is, I encourage you to go to Amazon. Your book's available at Amazon, Stephen, correct?
That's correct.
And look up Stephen Starr. That's S-T-A-R-R. Get this book. It's not a very big book. It's a couple-hour read, less than 200 pages. And you can get through that in a couple of hours and get the knowledge you need to make an informed decision. Here's our last break. We'll be right back.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Company will fix bayonets! Bayonets! Attention!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Stephen, this hour has flown by as typically I do for you and I. We'll have Andrew back in a couple of weeks, and he always has some interesting things to add to our discussions. Something we didn't mention, that for our new listeners, that North Korea has two satellites on a polar orbit that travel right over our home, from your home and my home, twice a day, don't they?
That's right. And, you know, in my book, I discovered myself, you can detonate a nuclear weapon over the Yucatan Peninsula and take out the U.S. grid, the entire grid. So it doesn't even have to be over your home.
That's right. That's right. There'll be, if it's daytime, there would be no flash of light. There'd be no sound. There would be no wind or anything that you, or concussion from a blast. It would be completely silent, and you wouldn't even know it happened if it was daytime, would you?
Right. Although, you know, one of the things I learned, too, it's more likely it'll happen at night because the EMP effects are a lot more pronounced at night. So that, but like you said, there's no blast or fire that are felt on the surface of the Earth because this detonation is going to occur probably a couple hundred miles above the Earth. But in a billionth of a second, the EMP, the E1 wave will hit and induce these massive voltages and currents into anything that's electrically conductive, particularly power lines and telecommunication lines, and that'll fry anything that's plugged in.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, you've got your warning here, ladies and gentlemen. There's details at my website at thelibertyman.com. And I might mention also that EMP Shield has graciously grandfathered listeners to the John Moore Show with a $50 discount on each piece of equipment. It adds up pretty quick, that $50 per piece of equipment, doesn't it, Stephen?
Yeah, and, you know, Andrew would also tell you that they can work with communities, too. So it doesn't just have to be your home. You can go to your local community and see if they're interested in getting the community protected.
That's right. Well, Stephen, I want to thank you for being with us. Have a great week, sir. We look forward to having you back next Monday. We appreciate it.
Thank you, John. You too.
Okay. All right, we've got a top of the hour break coming up here, and we'll begin Firearms Monday with Sam Andrews. Sam is a proprietor of Freedom Center USA, world-class training with rifles, pistols, and highly advanced first aid, the kind of first aid training that the Red Cross would never, ever give. They simply don't have that capability. And, of course, the website for Freedom Center USA is freedomtrain.net. I say again, freedomtrain.net. I hope we get some updates on the SHOT Show, the biggest gun show in the world that just took place in Las Vegas. The latest and greatest, the manufacturers, they saved the latest and greatest for the SHOT Show, sort of like the Detroit Auto Show back in the 19, they used to have in September. I guess they still have it, don't they? It's always good to get these updates, and our discussions with Sam, they always go in directions I never anticipate. I learn a lot from Sam. It's a lot of fun having Sam Andrews with us on Firearms Monday. So I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, we have a full week with our usual guest the rest of the week as well. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.